I'm Matthew Smith, Vermont Edition producer, and I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Yesterday, the long-awaited redacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report was released to the public. What does the new information tell us about the actions of President Trump and members of his administration? Does the report reach any new conclusion about Russian efforts to influence the 2016 presidential election? And what does the report tell us about interactions between the Trump campaign and Russian operatives? Today on Vermont Edition, we'll look at these questions with reporter Garrett Graff. Garrett has been writing about Robert Mueller for more than a decade and is author of the book, The Threat Matrix, Inside Robert Mueller's FBI and the War on Global Terror. Garrett, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
I want to mention that Garrett Graff is a member of the VPR Board of Directors. Garrett, as you looked at this redacted report, what's the biggest takeaway for you?
I think the most interesting aspect of this, and this is the thing that Washington is still trying to digest, is that this report is not nearly as cut and dry as Attorney General Barr had led people to believe. He had given that March 25th top line summary that effectively said no collusion, no obstruction, that led President Trump to tweet total exoneration exclamation point. And that's just simply not what the report actually says. The report says there was collusion, but not a conspiracy, those being the separate and separate terms of art, and that there was almost certainly obstruction. And actually, the thing that is most unexpected in this is that Mueller makes a pretty explicit point in his report that he sees that it was not up to him to bring charges against the president under the question of obstruction, that under the operative Justice Department guidelines, you cannot bring an indictment against a sitting president. And so that's why he saw that he had was not going to make a traditional prosecutorial decision. Now, Barr had told us that effectively Mueller decided not to make a traditional prosecutorial decision because it was a really difficult call, and so Barr made the call and said there was no obstruction. But that's really not what Mueller says. He says, actually quite explicitly, if there was no evidence the president conducted obstruction, we would state that, and we do not find that. And that he goes on to delineate in relative detail and compelling nature these 10 episodes that could amount to obstruction. And he says that the appropriate vehicle for an adversarial process to determine whether that counts as presidential malfeasance is not the court system, which is not an option under the Justice Department guidelines, but is instead, this is a question that he needs to refer to Congress.
Garrett, you know Robert Mueller well. Are you surprised that he reached that conclusion?
So that's a great question. And I've been saying that the Robert Mueller summarized by Bill Barr over the last 3 weeks just never made sense to me. That everything that we know about Mueller and his effectively 50-year career in public service now, in incredibly difficult, stressful jobs, it just didn't add up to me that he had looked at this and he said, man, this is a really tough question and I don't really know what to do here, so I'm just going to kick it over to the Attorney General. And in fact, reading the report yesterday, and I'm continuing to reread it today again, this actually is the Robert Mueller that we had expected to see, tenacious and thorough, and with a very tightly framed question of what his role is and what the appropriate outcome should be, and that he actually, far from not making a decision, actually has a very clear reasoning for the lack of decision that he makes on obstruction, and that answer is it's up to Congress to decide whether this rises to the question of impeachable offenses.
And from what you know, do you think Congress will investigate this now further?
It's a really tough call today. And I think I was in Washington yesterday and today for the report's unveiling. And it really does seem that Democrats on Capitol Hill are stuck a little bit, that they have been saying for months, let's wait and see what Mueller finds before we decide on impeachment. Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, said earlier this winter that she just thinks impeachment is not worth it, and it was important for the Democrats to focus on beating Trump at the ballot box in 2020. But now a lot of people that I've talked to on the Hill and across Washington in the last 24 hours have all looked at this and said, you know, man, this is unexpected, and it's going to be hard to escape this without a serious question and discussion around impeachment, that this is pretty damning evidence presented by the president, presented about the president here, and Congress needs to take up a question that it doesn't really want to.
There have been news reports, Garrett, that the president wanted to take steps to obstruct justice, and some members of his administration blocked that. Does that make a difference legally?
It actually explicitly doesn't. The obstruction standard in the federal code calls for not whether it's actually successful action or merely endeavoring, which is the word that exists in the statute. So obstruction is a case where simply trying to do something makes you guilty of the thing. And that this is a case where there seems to be very clear evidence that the president endeavored to obstruct justice, but was, as Mueller says, ultimately unsuccessful, mostly because the people around him didn't listen to him.
You mentioned the difference between the four-page memo from Attorney General William Barr and the actual redacted report. What do you make about those differences? What's going on here?
So this is a tough question also, and we don't really know where Mueller, you know, sort of how Mueller would think about this. But Barr seems to have really downplayed the findings of the Mueller report and oversimplified them in a way that is simply not accurate, up to and including the 22-minute press conference that he held yesterday morning to try to set the stage for the announcement or the release of the Mueller report around 11 a.m. yesterday, where even then, you know, basically an hour before all of us were able to read the report for ourselves, Barr appears to have outright lied when he said that Mueller did not leave this question for Congress, that he did not intend for Congress to play a role and did not make his decision in the context of this Office of Legal Counsel decision saying that the president cannot be indicted, when actually Mueller quite explicitly in his report says that he did not make an ultimate decision in part because of that OLC opinion that says that he cannot indict the president.
The report, Garrett, talks about the many interactions between the Trump campaign and folks in Russia. Does it tell us if the president himself was aware of these interactions and if he approved them?
So it doesn't appear that the that's a complicated question. The president was certainly aware of some aspects of these conversations that were ongoing. The president was, by all accounts, very involved, for instance, in this Moscow Tower project that Michael Cohen was negotiating in the midst of the 2016 campaign. up to a deal that is much more serious than we had been led to believe, in that there was actually a signed letter of intent from the Trump Organization to participate in this joint project to build a condo complex in Moscow. And the amount of money and the types of money that would flow from that project up to and through the Trump Organization in return. There are other aspects of some of these campaign contacts that it's more ambiguous whether Trump knew. It's ambiguous, for instance, what Trump knew when about that June 2016 meeting at Trump Tower with some Russian-linked officials. There are some instances, though, also in this report where Trump knows things about some of these Russian activities that his staff doesn't know, and that he's actually informing his staff about some of these. Now, this all gets to a question of this collusion versus conspiracy question, where Mueller, in his report, lays out the definitions and the legal framework for the approach that he was considering, and makes clear that he actually set a very high standard for what would rise to the level of a criminal conspiracy. And that is something that would have to be an agreement, tacit or express, between the Trump Organization and the Russian government. Whereas what Mueller paints a portrait of through the first volume of this report is something that is more sort of cooperation and collusion, short of an explicit or tacit agreement, where the Russian government attack thought that they would benefit from a Trump presidency. The Trump campaign was aware of the Russian attack and expected that they would benefit electorally from that attack, but that there's not necessarily a sign that there was an agreement in place to assist each other.
So, Garrett, we're almost out of time, but what's your best guess of what happens now? Where does this go from here?
I think that today the answer is much more complicated than it was actually yesterday before the report was released, because it is a more troubling and more puzzling report than we had been expecting that we were going to believe. So, for one thing, there are at least 14 open investigations that were spun out of Mueller that are ongoing, only two of which we know about, one involving Michael Cohen, one involving Greg Craig, who was actually indicted for part of his Ukraine work just in the last couple of weeks. But there are at least 12 other cases that remain secret, that are ongoing investigations, not necessarily ones that target the president, but potentially ones that still target people associated with his campaign. So that process alone is going to unfold for presumably months ahead. And then, Democrats, are really stuck with a conundrum on impeachment, whether they want to press forward. You saw the House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler talking this morning about subpoenaing the full report and then moving forward with having Mueller come to the Hill to testify sometime in May. And I think that's going to be, and Barr himself is going to be up testifying, it appears, on May 1st or 2nd. And that's where this is going to move next, and we're going to see some tough questions facing them.
Garrett Graff is a reporter who's been following this case very closely. Garrett, many thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Yep. Thank you.